All right, well, let's go ahead and get started this evening. So let's start with a roll call. Jen Hedrick
here.
John Conway
here.
Cody Darr. Bill Whitekemper
here.
Katrina Bowles
here.
Greg
here.
Yes. So just to announce and be clear that apparently the person scheduled to do the minutes tonight is not available, so had an emergency at the last minute. So our minutes for this evening are going to be picked up off of our voice recording. So I'd like to start with, if we could please, the folks here, in addition to the task force members, introducing themselves so we capture that for the record. Mr. Glasscock.
John Glasscock.
Thank you.
Ted Johnson.
Tom Bevlin.
Thank you, Tom.
Ryan Williams.
Thank you.
Michael McMahon.
Thank you. All right. We need to start by approving the agenda. It is a continuation of last week's. We have the minutes from the meeting on the 6th, but not the 5th yet, so we'll push that off to our next task force meeting. Anyone have any comments? Oh, hi, Kim. So,
do we have global recommendations? I mean, the whole package together, do we have that to review yet?
It's in the back of this. The global recommendations are included.
What was that? Was it sent out?
Yes.
15-page document.
Yeah. Yesterday, it went out yesterday. Yep.
Hoping to go into junk mail.
Oh, yeah. So Kim Krause has joined us for the audio record. I'll look in just a second on my email to tell you what time it came out.
I don't show it.
Ms. Rice.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm somewhat hard of hearing. Could you speak up a little louder so that I can hear you?
I'll do my very best.
Okay, thank you so much.
I have more than once been told that for someone with such a big mouth, I have a soft voice. So, yeah. Okay.
Sunday. No.
I think they came out yesterday afternoon. Did anybody else not get them?
They're not on my inbox. I'm looking at my deletes to see.
Did you send it or did Carol send it?
Carol.
It's Carol.
Monday afternoon, when?
Let's see here.
So it's Monday, and we're waiting about
6:13.
So can we go ahead and get through the approval of the minutes, please?
Did we approve the agenda?
I mean the agenda. That's what I'm sorry.
I make a motion to approve the agenda.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
All right. And now we have the minutes from the October 6th meeting, and it just occurred to me that not having a minute taker here makes that a slightly more complicated. I had sort of substantive changes. Can we discuss any other changes? I will make note of them, and then I have a meeting scheduled with Carol on Friday to talk about report production. I can give it to her then. So, any other comments, revisions, corrections to the minutes?
There's a lot of little stuff. Did you reference a New York news article?
You were talking about Roy Dierdeck, right?
Yeah.
So, page 2, second paragraph, second line. Mr. Whitekemper asked about a Roy Dierdeck.
Email from Roy.
Yeah.
I did not receive. Anybody can send this to me electronically. I didn't receive those, I don't think. I got the agenda and then the minutes, but I did not receive the list of her COVID.
Okay, yeah. Here I can. Yeah, you're not on here.
That's why I didn't.
Sorry.
What date was that?
Greg.
Yesterday.
But it wasn't
yesterday.
Me.
There's always a reason why. 10-10.
Am I on that list?
It's on here.
I got.
No, it's no. It's the draft document for the public hearing, so it's all of them. All right, there it went. Okay, I apologize. Back to minutes revisions.
I don't know. There was some other stuff. I would almost, if not specific to this, but. I would make a recommendation in the future. It seems like we spend a lot too much time going through these minutes. And when we have a recording, I'd say just do the bare minimum for the minutes, save us some time, and then continue to put on the minutes reference to the recording and the URL, which we've asked them to do and they never do, which I would again make that on comment on this one if they haven't made that reference. So that's just thoughts for our future. As we're obviously we're almost done with this one, so we're not going to change the way we operate. But
the recording should be the most accurate.
I personally agree with you. We have people following the work of this task force quite closely that have a different opinion about that. So.
A lot of times there's a lot of, you know, partial information or not the full conversation. And I don't feel like the need to go through and specify. I mean, it's just a lot of time. But if somebody's trying to follow us and they're just going off these printed minutes, they're not getting the full story. And I feel like they're probably, it's misrepresenting what exactly we're doing here. And they might think it is a full representation since it kind of looks like it's somewhat detailed, you know.
I need 7 pages of notes.
I'm sorry?
We need 7 pages of minutes. Say when a minute is 7 pages, it looks like it's a full representation.
Yeah, this is 3 pages.
Or I mean 7 pages more.
Right.
Something to think about. I don't have any comment on this particular minute.
Well, it's the, I don't know. I think Cody gets back to the discussion of, you know, what's required to be recorded in the minutes. You know, and so, you know, what's required to be recorded in the minutes are the motions and the votes. Mm-hmm. And then you go from there to Mars.
Right. Well, I appreciate what you're saying, and I will just suggest that we are in an interesting, the work of this task force is at an interesting time when the city is making some both technological and policy transitions around this kind of information.
Right.
I think we're a little bit of a test.
I think it might be worthwhile, like we were talking earlier, to state that this is a summary of the meeting, not notes verbatim, and that the full content is available on the recording. And that should be stated on every one of these because they're not full representation of all the discussion.
But they don't have to be.
But the important thing to me about the process of approving them is that if there is inaccurate or incorrect information, that we publicly correct it.
Not so much as omissions, but inaccurate statements.
Yes. Yeah. So if there's anything that needs to be corrected, please speak up.
Yeah.
So, for example, on page 2, paragraph 2, in the middle of the paragraph, it says, Ms. Griever-Rice feels that, I can't even read what it originally said, negation fees should be eliminated, but it should be negotiated fees.
Yeah.
instead. So that's, those words mean very different things.
They do.
Yeah. And I had two other substantive ones at the top of page 3. Advise that an issue of concern is fear of ending up with an aggressive policy rather than a regressive policy. It should probably say concern is fear is ending up with a regressive cost structure, period. And there's a, we sort of switch topics that's not noted in this, so I have another note about that at the end. This is Ms. Krause's comments were about I&I, and that's not noted. So if anybody has anything they want to publicly comment on, okay.
And it's in the middle of this first paragraph, and where it talks about Mr. Coffin stated that he is uncertain about a utility advisory board. But stated as we are, because that's what we, when we did the storm water analysis, we would kind of table that topic towards the end. So
right.
I was trying to convey the task force combined when we're uncertain about that.
Thank you. Okay, if I could take anybody's corrected for other things minutes with me, I'll get these to Ms. Schaefer. Okay. Any other additions, corrections? If not, would someone like to move for approval, please?
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes.
Thank you.
Second.
In favor?
Aye.
All right. Thank you. So next week when we meet, it's going to be in council chambers to have the public hearing. We've got three things to do tonight. We need to finish our discussion of the electric, downtown electric utility recommendations and our global recommendations. We want to talk about item 2, make sure we're good for the public hearing agenda. And if we have any, and these all three really blend together, but any time left, we'll talk about our final report contents. We have a lot to do, and we have an hour and 45 minutes, so I'm going to be a strict timekeeper.
Can I get a copy of what we're reviewing?
I'm sorry?
Can I get a copy of what we're reviewing?
It appears you have one right there in front of you.
This is my revised copy.
That's what I brought too, quite frankly, Bill, because you just added a couple things and made some copy editing changes.
The secretary usually brings me a hard copy of everything she sends out. No deeper.
Okay.
She does me as well, yeah. I haven't got much going.
All right, well.
The one's dated October 18th, is that good?
Yeah. The one dated October 18th.
That's because it's a public hearing date.
Right, it's not the actual
document. I'm not sure I follow your question. Yeah, I think you've got everything right in front of you.
Is it possible
to go
get those?
Oh,
the hard copy.
What Bill's saying is that the recorder that comes to the meeting will bring his hard copies as well as Kim's, and since we don't have one tonight,
probably at Carol's desk.
So it could be at Chris's desk.
The hard copy of the.
This one would be the proposed draft recommendations for public.
Yeah, and probably have the agenda and probably have the minutes in a folder with their name on it.
Okay, I'll go look.
Do you want to just take this just in case so you could make copies?
Sure, I'll do that. Okay. She's got a copy of something. Nothing else. Just make a copy of it. Copy that.
Can I have a copy too?
How many copies would you like of that?
How many?
Do you guys want to
black one?
How many? 12 copies.
All right.
That's right.
All right. All right.
I'll save that branch.
Is this, just while we're waiting for these copies, just a note on formal kind of, is this the exact document, obviously you're going to take up, or maybe you will draft on, that is going to be available for the public?
Yes.
Is
well, with whatever changes we make
after tonight.
Yes.
Okay. I was just going to note, like, It would. There's a couple little things differentiate between indentions a little more, but do you think it would be better to have numbers on these? They would be easier referenced as far as page two, the third one down, you know, if you could have stormwater utility functional recommendation 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Well, I changed them on intentionally, and my thought on it is we have not prioritized these.
It would be strictly for
reference, so that if somebody's
purpose.
Talking about, yeah, like,
but
so they don't
I
have
agree.
To say fourth bullet down, or...
It, which is another question, should we try to prioritize these?
I don't think we should for the public hearing.
I like to get the input from the public before we prioritize.
Exactly, right.
I agree with that.
But I do agree with your comment that when you're trying to submit...
I'll switch it to a lettering system so that it doesn't presume prioritization.
Are the pages numbered?
Yes, they're numbered.
They're not numbered on the graph.
I'm sorry?
They're numbered on the graph.
No, there's no number. There's no numbers on the original.
No, the one that gets sent out electronically, the tent has page numbers on it. Page numbers, but not, it's just bulleted.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
But you're just looking, you're making a global change for the 18th. That's your opinion.
The one we send out that they're going to be looking at and we're going to be looking at, I feel like it would be nice if they were number three on page
somebody
two,
could reference a question to a specific item.
Yeah. Or A on page two or something.
All right. Any other general formatting issues we might address while we're getting copies?
There were a couple little, like, indention.
I added a blank line between the bullet points. Easier to follow.
Takes up more paper. Yeah. But, okay.
Yeah. It does take up more paper.
Yep. Okay, that's fine. In terms of style, I usually use AP style. I'm glad to use any style, but I think it solves that problem if a group adopts a copy editing style to use. So if anybody has strong feelings about another APA or Chicago style or whatever, I don't care, but okay.
At this juncture, I mean, we can do a little bit of editing, but again, we're trying to seek it, but final report.
Yes.
We'll need more funding.
Another update while we're waiting for the copies. I did, you know, at our last meeting, we had a brief discussion about asking for an extension of time to work on the report. I did have a chance to talk to Brian Treese for a little bit about that, and I have to say I am pretty much in the same place he is about this. He suggests that if we want to take another couple weeks to work on the report itself, ensuring that it's got the look and tone and correctness that is professional and the way we want it to be, that totally makes sense. But he would appreciate we try and stick as much to our timeline so they can use this report to inform other decisions. And I think I agree with him on that. But that is something that if it makes sense to take a vote on, I'm glad to do that.
I think it makes sense. I think that you have a perfected report by the end of this month is going to be a big challenge, because we're only going to get our comments from the public next week, and then
right.
We'll have a chance to dialogue, do some more editing, and then start drafting the report and
right.
getting it. So it could take a couple of weeks to get that done.
Okay. But we would not...
It wouldn't be a content issue
right.
at that point. It would be
right.
making sure that it reads clearly and that it's professionally organized, that sort of thing.
Yes. So... we can have discussion about that, certainly, if you guys want to mull on it while we go through the rest of these. So for folks who weren't here last week, people submitted what they that had drafted sections, their final pieces. We got through stormwater, streets and sidewalks, and sewer. Did we start electric?
No.
Okay, so and so tonight we're going to go through the electric and global recommendations. And then I would like to, and then at that point, circle back around to any sort of copy editing or style issues that might come up as we move through it. If that makes sense.
Stormwater, the roads, and the sewer are ready to go for public comment, and then we're going to do the electric.
We're going to do the electric, yeah. And
so we're not changing any content on this.
Yeah, except there are a couple people here tonight that weren't here last time, and we'd certainly like to get your feedback on those first three areas, but.
Last time the task force had comments about the sewer regulations, which I revised after the meeting. I don't believe anybody has seen that except you.
That's a good point, and I need to check and make sure that's the version. Did you look? Is that the version in this draft?
Yes.
Okay.
The revised version.
Yes, the revised version is. I think a couple other people sent me revised versions, which we'll capture as we, right.
But it was
and
more
so did
pulling
you
out a couple.
Right.
Adding, there was like one or two words we,
minor
yeah.
Right.
And then I pulled one out of Global and put it in streets, but.
Okay.
The only one I saw while we're waiting, I guess, the one that changed for you, Bill, was the connection fee, sewer connection fee. You had identified two different projects that had applied the connection fees differently or inconsistently, you thought, and you changed that to a rewording of the, or suggested rewording of the ordinance.
Yeah.
You want to go over what you're thinking for that, just to give me some background?
Can you tell me where you're at in the document?
Page 10. The second bullet.
The red edit there?
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks.
You're very kind. Thank you.
So the example's not there anymore, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Which is good, I think. I like that we're just going after the connection fee wording that you don't like and we're looking at. So what's the gist of this change or what are you trying to accomplish?
Rear of the water equity charge versus monthly charge.
Is it different than the one I have? The one that was sent out yesterday?
It is. It has some these changes by Bill. Well, so no. The only thing different is he's made some
formatting
changes. Yes.
Yeah.
And I missed one on page 12 that he added back in.
Okay, I'll take one.
Yeah, take one.
Sorry.
That's all right. Thank you.
In accordance with the following table, does it make any
sense? Right, that should come out.
Yeah, I saw that.
Page 11.
Page 10.
What? I'm just looking at number 10.
What are you looking for?
Recommendation on what I'm talking about.
It's on page 10.
Page 10.
Top of the page.
So essentially what you're,
this proposal is to make the sewer connection fee in line with the water system equity charge.
So it's either or, either charge a sewer connection fee per dwelling unit or you're charging a water connection per, do you have the order, is that?
No. It's to do with master water meters. The ordinance, the sewer ordinance says that the connection fee is so much per unit, whether it's meter quarter or not.
Shouldn't this be part of what rolls into this first one on page 9? Your financial policy. You have the sub bullets.
Still within the financial recommendations.
Yes.
I know, but because he's saying we say this is what needs to be done versus it for if you have multiple uses, multiple dwelling units, they should be charged a base fee. And we're taking a stance on how the financial, how the finances should be allocated as opposed to on all these other ones that Bill brought up as far as should how a sewer user is metered. I don't know, all these.
But your bullets up above is more about the base charge.
It's all framed. It's all
your
framed.
Your bullets above are about the base charge, or the other thing you edited is the connection fee.
Yeah.
But it's all about whether, let's engage an independent consultant to assess if these are appropriate or equitable, because
oh, I
the
see.
City's
going
to say, you know, I have a feeling they're going to say. Also, it probably needs to be updated to the current $2,000 per dwelling unit. Not $1,600.
I
checked on the city website. It's $1,600 on the website.
Pretty sure they adopted $2,000.
I did too, but they should have updated your website too.
Can we please get confirmation of that, Mr. Glasscock or Tad? On this, on section, on page 10. The bullet that deals with section 22-264, this in italics description is apparently pulled from the city website, and it says 1600, but is it now 2000?
I believe the budget passed 2000.
Okay, can we change it? It will be accurate if we change it in our document, right?
To 2000.
Okay, to 2000.
I read through this. I see what you're coming from, Cody. It really almost should be with that first global statement with all the sub bullets underneath it because it's in a similar category. Kind of looks odd standing by itself there.
Because you're taking a stance on this is whereas. Feel like that's
well as a task force.
I personally
don't.
Yeah.
Do we support the study of it, or do we support actually implementing it?
Yeah.
Pre-study.
I feel like I don't know enough about it. I mean, yeah, it seems like it should definitely be investigated to do it this way, but
I don't know.
Do we need an independent prosecutor?
So Bill, can we bring these, and the one following it would go up also, right?
Yes.
bring these two bullets up under this first recommendation under...
Well, I think the second one maybe could do it. Yeah, whatever. I think they're two different. Whatever. Yeah, they're different stuff. They're kind of the same.
The first one on the page should go with that other grouping, but I'm not sure that... And this one could stand on its own. Because it has to do with...
I see. Okay. Then just the 22-264.
Yeah, I think you just bring that whole thing into a bullet, sub-bullet under one.
The first bullet under sewer financial.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Other changes, Bill, in the sewer section?
I added one to Cody right now, the box resolution.
What page is that, Bill?
11.
City should amend policy resolution PR 115-97A.
Which requires annexation to the City of Columbia in order for the city to provide sewer service to a property to reflect that annexation is not required in cases where there's a public health concern or regulatory compliance issue. And then further discussion would be, this would only be intended to apply to existing developments and not for an expansion of any of the current use, just in order to avoid the delay in getting these public safety hazards addressed and in compliance. Could be done a lot quicker if you didn't have the owners balking at having to annex to the city and all the other stuff that brings along.
Mm-hmm.
If they're otherwise not wanting to voluntarily annex.
Right.
I modified one at the top of page 11, where you say that recommended the point of sale inspection.
Discussion.
Bullet point.
You're on it. You're on page 8.
Page 8. Bullet point uses reference point of sale inspection.
Mm-hmm.
Modify that. Put the emphasis on the five property owners and identify first of all. You mentioned the point of sale inspection in the discussion.
Yeah, I like the way you worded that.
Yep. Very nice, thank you. So as you probably know, Mr. Conway, I did make an editorial decision on removing some of the background information from your draft that we talked about including in the final report. So if there's specific pieces, and some of it I integrated down into the discussion section. So please let me know if there are specific pieces you think are important that I missed.
Oh, I don't know. Under the discussion there on page 12, we see there are many citizens that feel the city is not in compliance. I don't know.
Oh, there are many?
Well, I don't know that we, I don't know we heard from any.
Well, should we, do you want to start at the beginning of that and we'll pick that up?
Where are you at?
At functional on page 11.
I think we just start that and just do away with there are many citizens that feel.
I'm still not sure where you're at.
I'm on page 12 of the revised revision.
I think we're starting with the functional.
The latest revision that's been revised and edited.
We're starting with the functional recommendations.
Go back to the top.
Yeah, all right.
Page 11.
Okay.
Okay, now. I'm on page 12, 11.
Actually,
yeah.
Page 12.
And I think
page
we're
12.
Well, did we? Are we?
We're good to go.
We're good to go on everything.
We don't have any comments on the first functional recommendation. Gone.
Did we, for the discussion, not that I won't change anything, but do you think we adequately? Are you happy with did we adequately convey that we were unhappy that this project has been delayed? I think.
Oh, I don't know.
Okay,
yeah.
Let's just keep going.
Yeah.
Okay. I think, go back to John Clark's understanding of this line extension policy. We don't have the great details, and his perception is that
okay, now the city would actually,
oh, sorry.
Say?
You're still, go ahead.
I was still on number one, but no, I, just tell me which one you're on now, the next one.
I was on the line extension.
Okay.
And I was just going back to that there's some perception that the city would actually be paying out to a new connection to get them to connect. In other words, it's an enticement. That's not my understanding of the line extension.
It's
not
all
what
about
I got out of
how you frame the perspective on how you look at it.
Right.
You know,
what I got at Jim Windsor was the opposite. It's what their contribution needed to be in order to make the city whole to connect them to the facility.
It's all how you look at it to me because. Yeah, there's costs that the customer doesn't pay right off the bat, but they're paying within the first 5 years. So, and it's the city. It's not like we're like a huge,
right.
We're trying to provide a service here. So why should it be all up front versus recovered in the rates in the first 5 years? I mean, or whatever their methodology is.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think I find the electric utility to be the very hardest one for someone with no knowledge to try and speak to. It's complicated. But sort of issue is that if the line extension policy costs are absorbed into rates, then everyone is paying for the cost of a new development as opposed to...
I think they're just looking at your rates, though. Are we covered in 5 years? Just your rate... is paying for your extension within 5 years, or you're paying the difference in what your rate is not recovering
in 5 years.
I don't know
if that's really clear in the way it was described, but I think that is very important for the development. It should be the way you've described it. It should be the
analysis. I don't think they're looking at the city's rates.
This industry that comes in should be paying enough rate to overcome not only the, you know, the connection, but also, you know, the cost of connecting to them.
Yeah.
Could you guys weigh in or on our under help us with our understanding?
Well, from what I understood, I thought you may be right, whereas there's a certain amount of revenue that's expected to be recovered from you as a customer going forward, and if you cost more to the utility in the recovery period, which varies depending on the company's 5 years, as an example, if you cost the utility more than what you expect to recover in that 5 years, then we expect that contribution from you as a customer to make up the difference. And the concept is that the rest of the customers aren't being
affected.
Yeah,
they're not subsidizing your particular development at all.
Exactly.
They're not subsidizing your
right.
specific development.
No, the city's not subsidizing the electric.
No. Other than they're letting you use your first 5 years projected rates. Other than that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Seems
I just said the way this is recommendation is worded, we may need to be a little more specific that it's to to not impact other ratepayers.
Right. So would you feel comfortable writing a little discussion section for that?
I can, or John would. You want to do it since it's your section, John? You mean to write? I think it's just a misinterpretation of it. As long as it's not impacting the rest of the ratepayers, it's.
I guess what I believe is that that will all be shook out when it's dealt with.
Right.
Well, we should have a thing.
But it's nice to have, you know, an explanation of what the impact is.
Okay, I'd agree. I will yield.
Discussion should
I will yield to Greg.
Okay, I get it. Just a real brief statement. Yeah. Just basically the goal of the accession policy shall be to, you know, recover the cost of this connection and not create a burden on the rest of the ratepayers to pay for the development connection.
Very good.
Something of that nature. I'll write something up.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Which brings us to the next one.
Eliminate glass ends.
I would, personally, I'm fine with leaving it in here for the public discussion, but I'm just projecting to the next meeting after, where I'm probably going to say I would not want to include in our recommendations both of these, line extension policy update and the connection fee. I think they're both striving to capture the same thing. I know they're different philosophies and there's different approaches to it, but it's still kind of an upfront cost to the customer and making sure that capital costs aren't being subsidized by the utility itself.
So,
and I feel like having both of these increase upfront costs would be overly burdensome, so I would not be in favor of having both of those on our recommendations.
What about framing it like we have several other things and saying we recommend an outside or a consultant's opinion on which of these types of fees are going to be appropriate for us?
Yeah, I agree. And, we should make sure we also include in that that prior to acceptance of the current line extension policy being at the council level or whatever.
Right.
But then if we do that, if we change that, we need to make sure we don't then drop off that expanded capacity or expanded service blur.
That would be added into the line extension policy. I can see it's either this one or this one, but if you
go with line extension, you're forgetting about the expanded service.
Right. But you could even. I mean, you could have like set a factory that's going from here to here, and more infrastructure has to be built in order to serve them. So you really go back as part of the line extension policy to review that.
As long as there's a trigger. It's not just because it says new electric customers, new and more expanded.
Yeah, it's almost we need new and expanded on the first bullet.
Mm-hmm.
And it should be almost an or, I guess, because both of them are trying to accomplish the same thing.
Okay. And then I think that this addition bill goes in the global section, which I think is where I moved it, isn't it?
I didn't see it.
Which one is that?
The depreciation.
I didn't see it either.
Okay. Well, maybe I was just having some PTSD about it or something. Left it off entirely.
I think in the paragraph before that, I think that last sentence should be removed. Where it says electric system connection fee or electric system equity charge should be similar to the sewer connection fee and the water equity charge. Those are three different methodologies that are not.
I agree.
I think the first sentence gets it all.
Anybody feel strongly about that?
Then under the discussion of the on the depreciation fund there, I think under where it starts the discussion that I think we ought to X out, there are many citizens that feel, eliminate that and then put a capital T and say the city may not be in compliance with the requirements in the city charter and city ordinance established.
It's feeling out.
Yeah, I don't know that you, yeah. That's a, I don't know that, that's a. So you want to move that to global, or is that?
I personally think that this one belongs, the depreciation conversation belongs in global, and I, sorry if my joke was not funny, but that was my intent, was to move it there, and I'm sorry I lost that in the process.
No problem.
Before we leave electric policy, this that we were just discussing, do we want any discussion to this last one, the city establish an electric system connection fee or electric system equity charge.
Do we want to open this?
Is there any discussion that goes with that? Do we want to expound on that at all?
Talk about the customer charge or the connection charge, the customer charge.
So yeah,
I'm still on page 12.
Greg's discussion about the goal.
Doesn't that work for both?
Both of those?
I think so.
There we go.
Right.
There we go.
Okay.
I'd almost recommend we merge that into one recommendation, either a line extension policy or
right.
an mm-hmm. electric system connection fee.
Yes.
And have a discussion point mm-hmm. out why.
So you want me to do that, or is John going to do that?
No, this
but are we actually recommending this, or recommending that these be part of a study?
I'd say just repeat it again. But we keep it separated. I think that's important, to keep it separated.
Well, if we're going to do an evaluate, if we're going to say or, we're going to need to say we need to evaluate which one's better. So
right.
there needs to be a study.
Right.
Or else we just say we recommend the line extension policy or we recommend the connection fee. But since we can't.
Yeah,
we
I
really
see where we would recommend a study to determine a line extension policy or a connection fee, determine which brings best benefit to the community.
With the goal of
right.
capturing the cost of the expansion
right.
without.
I think it's appropriate to recommend that there be an evaluation or study of that, particularly since there already is a line extension policy under consideration. This would be just expanding the conversation.
We needed to update this before the 18th. Do we have time to do that, or would this be something post-public comment?
I think it'd be great if we could get it there before the, to get into the, for the 18th.
And when is the deadline for that?
I know that, what's your deadline? or what's your availability?
Let me look at my calendar real quick.
Okay. Okay.
It's not good, but I'll look.
Because it might be something that I could draft and you could give me feedback on.
I could do it, it just matters.
Okay. All right, so are we good with moving this depreciation to...
I could probably get it done in the morning.
Thank you. To the global section, and then we'll pick it up and have that discussion about it then. But let's get... Okay, so financial policy recommendations for electric...
Step back real quick. What draft that I'm going to send to you, John, too.
Yeah.
Okay. Same time as Tracy, so if you see anything there that
right.
gotcha.
You have issues with,
uh-huh.
you know.
We'll get on.
I hope to have it out before 10 o'clock tomorrow morning.
All right.
Okay. All right. financial policy recommendations.
My first bullet's really two recommendations.
I almost feel like that one, the first one, and the second one are could be combined into one. I mean, it's all about customer charges and base charges and minimum charges.
There are just so many sub points that it gets pretty dense.
Well, and they're almost the same sub points.
Well, the I would recommend eliminating the last one.
The second one?
Where it says separately tracking, review, and adjust electric service charges and fees.
The last sub-bullet on the first.
As needed to maintain the proportional distribution of operation and maintenance replace costs among customers. That is not proportional. Those costs are not proportional. What that is, that proportional distribution of operation maintenance is straight out of the SRF regulations for sewer if you get an SRF loan from the state. And then electrical service charges and so on, it's not proportional. The relationship is not proportional. It's far more complex than that. And the way that's validated, just look at a cost of service study. I mean,
right. All right. Is that everybody on track and on board with that?
Okay. There's like three different things that were said right there. Mm-hmm. Which part?
Removing the final sub bullet.
Yeah, that's fine. Are we fine with keeping the first two bullets separate and as they are? I'll just state I think they could be combined, but I don't really feel strongly about it. I can stay separate. Or maybe Bill thinks there should be three there instead of two. I don't know.
I would just feel like I'm going to divide the first one into two bullets. Evaluate the base charge for mass meter and energy meter properties, period.
That phrase as well ensuring seems
part of evaluation. Second, evaluate whether or not the customer charge is based upon parameters of Michael and the meter-based customer, meter-based electric minimum charge. Add that to it, and you have three primary bullets, and then the rest of the sub-bullets leave that.
Right, and just for reference, these are the same. I believe the first set are from Mr. Conway's last draft, and the second set are from Mr. Whitekemper's last draft. We hadn't gone over this yet, so that's why they're both in here. Right.
That's why I took it.
Yeah. That's why they're duplicates.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
The second bullet takes up the non-residential meter facilities, though, right? Well, the first one doesn't.
Yeah. Right.
Say that again, Kim.
The top of page 13 picks up the non-residential units that might be tenant occupied or what have you. They're not included in that first bullet. Is that the 11,000 that we talked about that last meeting? No, that's addressed somewhere else.
So how are we merging these?
Add the first and the two bullets, then add the other bullet on the second page, page 13, to the first one. You have three primary
bullets, and then the sub bullets would fall under all three of them.
You could actually eliminate the first three sub bullets on page 12.
Mm-hmm.
They're covered in the down below.
Okay, eliminate the first three, Bill.
Yes.
On page 12.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Second one on page 13.
Down below.
To the list. The remainder of the list on page 13.
All those would be under the third primary bullet?
Yes.
Okay.
So, and all three of these at the top are going?
Scratch these two are gone.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just this one.
That one.
And then all these three.
Okay. Yep.
That would go under the third one.
Yeah. Where do these go? They stay?
Yeah. Well, we haven't walked all the way through them yet, so yeah. So I'd like to, and let's go through these sub bullets and make sure they're where we want them. But the last two, explore demand rate billing, and reevaluate the net zero policy. I'd like to move those to the top and then have this more complicated set of bullets and sub-bullets finishing that up.
Yeah.
Does that work?
Yeah, these are primary bullets, and yeah, we can move those to the top so they don't get
lost in the shuffle.
I agree, too.
Okay.
Because the rest of them are
interrelated. So I think these first two sub-bullets on page 13, we've talked quite a bit about and had general consensus on. Is that fair?
What do you want that?
City would set the first two bullet earths, these two, yeah.
Which basically restate what we took out on the other page, yeah.
Yeah. And the third one. The discount
yes,
customers when they're off.
Mm-hmm.
It 4, I think, the fourth one, was also generally agreed upon. This is specific to the customer charge, not to the rate charges.
So the fifth one and the one at the top of the page seem like they're just about the same.
Yes.
Right. Those are the... That's the...
So we could probably just X off that top of the page.
On the type of electric service provided, the location.
We're moving any of these.
No, we're keeping those.
Keeping them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Through 4 right now. This one is this one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Not this one, which is the same essentially as this, but I'm trying to compare those.
Yep.
Okay. Are we good with that? So we'll take off this top one and we keep the one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then the bottom, the one on the bottom of the page, in order to ensure that the customer charge is equitable, the customer charge could be based on the capacity of service. And this is the one where it's the specificity of it.
Yeah, where did the numbers come from?
Correct.
I don't like the numbers. Dollars.
Right.
I think just putting a period without giving examples is
fine. No, I'm leaving it the way it is. It's just kind of an example. It says evaluate whether it's more equitable or not.
Might be good to leave it in there, although it might be construed that that's what we're recommending, those dollar.
Right. Yeah, I don't
know.
Right.
Example. It has to be clearly listed as an example, not
this is an example. These are not the recommended rates.
Instead of attaching the dollar amounts, could you...
Can't we just maybe enhance that sentence a little bit to just say it would be a graduated system based on the... a graduated set of charges based on the amps provided, the size of service provided? Okay. All right. I'm going to move those other two to the top. Okay. So now we're back to general recommendations, global recommendations. Make a note about the depreciation under financial. So let's start with the functional. I did, these are simply ordered by, quite honestly, whoever, so the general recommendations come out of stormwater, streets,
mm-hmm.
sewer, electric, because that's the order I was working in. So we can talk about whether there's a different order would be more appropriate. And the other thing we can think about is if there's any discussion comments we want to add to any of these.
I thought at one time down there on page 14, we talk about construction regulations that was not in the purview of the task force or something. I thought we X'd that one time.
I think we did X some out, but this, I kind of see the differentiation in this a little bit. I mean, it's not getting into construction practices, it's more the regulations that regulate construction practices.
Of utilities.
Yeah, I guess it's a subtle difference. But we're not evaluating the regulations themselves, which Bill had a number of recommendations as far as planting trees and stuff like that, which we did X off, but this, I mean, we can still discuss the merits of this particular recommendation, but I think it seems reasonable that we would make a recommendation that they would be about construction regulations.
What you saying, Kim?
The survey you got yesterday or today, was that for DNR or something? Nobody else,
You know, had the IFP workshop?
Right. Yeah, is that it? They're having all the public meetings for input.
Yes, that's so right.
Yeah,
future
I was going to discuss that.
And all that.
Yeah, tomorrow.
I mean, just as a part of the stormwater.
I guess my question is, because it is referenced in the discussion, specific to by utility construction projects, do we want to address that directly in the recommendation? I guess it is in terms of public construction projects, but...
As far as my general kind of feeling about this is, there's a lot of regulations that you already go through with any public or private construction project, particularly major ones, which I think you were talking about when you referenced the Hinkson Creek outfall or flat branch relief sewers.
So those are...
And those are already in effect, I mean, for various different things, core...
So those projects aren't meeting regulations?
No, they are. I mean, and I personally, I mean, those are pretty, you know, they're not just easy permits and regulations to comply with generally. I mean, they're pretty hard to meet sometimes. So I don't necessarily, in my opinion, feel like we're not protecting the environment enough, but so I don't know. That's
so you do that in the decision about utility construction regulations. Environmental impact on my public and private utility construction project.
Would you talk about it separately under stormwater? And I assume it's in your
utility regulations and environmental.
Well, like many, many communities, I mean, Columbia has not totally, Columbia has had issues with complying with environmental regulations. I mean, I don't think there's anything wrong with acknowledging that.
But we have, I don't know if I see the connection.
I could see that the IMP is, that's one of their charges is to address that.
Well, maybe.
Storm and
sewer.
Perhaps that should be the recommendation.
If you're going to meet them, then that's my understanding is that in order to comply with the ever adding regulation, that the IMP is to help prepare and implement solutions.
That's water quality.
Yeah.
We're talking construction practices.
And that overlap erosion control is one of the environmental things in the IP.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but, and so are there erosion control problems with the Hinkson Creek outfall and the flat branch relief sewers?
Well, that's what Bill's stating. Community concern for those projects.
They should have state regulations they have to comply with.
Well, that's the thing. Are you? Is the problem that we're not complying with the regulations, or is it that the regulations aren't harsh enough and need to be increased?
I think it's both.
Or are we?
In my opinion, In my opinion, the regulations are not
enforced.
Yeah, I don't think we need more harsh regulations, but maybe we need to make sure we comply with them.
But or is it a problem we're tearing down too many trees and we need to have the specifications tighter where we don't take as much...
That was part of the...
As much trees.
Tree preservation plan is lacking, in my opinion.
So one thing you can do right now, you a lot of times they design a SUR off an aerial photograph rather than a survey. So you can't identify trees, individual trees. If you took off a survey, you identify a 24-inch tree and avoid that tree.
Now we're getting into construction practices.
Well, was Hinkson Creek, was that ever surveyed?
What's that?
The design survey for Hinkson Creek?
Sure. Well, it was field surveyed.
I think all of them are field
surveyed.
All of them are field surveyed.
Okay. They're not done off an area.
Question I got is, do we are going to recommend a higher level of regulation standards in that area over what the state already requires?
No, let's go back to what she's saying. I mean, let's define the problem. I don't see the problems defined here. It's a notion, and it's a visual thing. I think what she says may be what the problem is.
And repeat that.
Which part? The tree preservation? Tree preservation plan?
Yeah.
Requirement?
Yeah, but that's what it's about.
Yeah, I mean, somewhat, but 25% of, you only have to say 25% of climax forest.
My property. Can I just say
4 inches or better? Except that your runoff runs into my property.
I can't believe you're regulating my trees. You can't cut down one tree.
We need to save as many of those trees as we can. I don't know that. No,
that's
so,
what public parks are for.
So maybe let's require that all sewers be directionally bored.
There you go.
This one may need some work. I don't
know. I don't even know what that means. Down, right?
Well, you bore the hole and then you pull the pipe back through. Impact the surface.
Except for when
you can do that?
Yeah. So if you're drill
pits. You can do just about anything if you have enough money.
Oh, yeah.
That's
other
law in California, Mac.
It's much more expensive.
So, we
want to
work on that those two?
Yeah, leave it like it is.
Yeah, let's just see what the public has to say.
Yeah, leave it like it is.
For the hearing.
I kind of like the way Greg was going down the road with reference something about the IMP ensuring continued regulatory compliance.
Right.
But
the question is should the city do more
than what's required by
state and federal regulation?
Yeah.
Some communities have done that.
Yeah.
Have added more environmental control requirements.
Exactly.
Right.
Well, then you have to look at the cost of, bank stabilization that the city pays for. Because a homeowner squawks about the erosion when it could have probably been taken care of 5 years ago just by not cutting down all those trees, perhaps. And then we got more trees planted back. As opposed to spending money on back and all those trees back, just leave it.
It's not easy. Not easy.
Do we have anything to say about the four above that one?
I was the only thing for the second bullet point. I was almost wanting to put some kind of discussion in there. Just, it seemed like we wanted to, or from what I remember from the conversations, a more of a narrative approach to start with for these scorecards as opposed to a hard and fast. This gets an A, this gets a B, this one, the sanitary is worth this much percentage, and then there's a complex formula, and you're putting weights on certain infrastructure. So a more narrative approach to begin with as opposed to a hard and fast,
Okay.
And that, would need to be written out, which I can take a stab at that.
You want to take a stab at that? Okay. And we'll add it as discussion.
Instead of a purely numeric system?
Yeah, numeric. That was one of the things.
Okay. Yeah, I remember we had a...
We talked about a grading system, but...
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It may be it'll evolve into a grading system, but at the beginning, you're making a lot of assumptions, and you know you're working through a process. And if this is going to be, depending on if it's binding or whatever, you know how much of the regulations this is, or is a guiding tool.
Is there any discussion to add to the first bullet? I actually think this is one that is has the potential to be fairly controversial. So,
yeah.
The value added part?
Yep.
I don't want to take on liability. That's what I was good at. We don't want to take an annexation that costs money to the city.
We don't want to avoid an annexation that's going to cost us money down the road.
True. You know, that's part of the value added. In other words,
Both ways.
The other thing here, Greg, this is not a new discussion.
No. No, it's not. The internet sales tax is pretty straightforward. City continue to develop the GIS system.
That's ongoing, but yep. We recommend you continue and expand if possible.
Mm-hmm. It does say continue to develop. Good. So if we flip to 15.
Do we want to put any wording in there for a quick turnaround? I know I don't think we want to implement necessarily a date on that, but.
Which one are you looking at?
The GIS one.
That's an ongoing thing. So there right now, they were meeting on at least once or twice a year basis and sharing information. It's not a single database, but they're sharing layering information. To my knowledge, the folks, the private utilities are not part of that, then they have the priority not to be part of that, but we should encourage them to participate where possible, I think.
But they don't give up their data.
Well, some of it's for security reasons.
Yeah.
And I understand that.
Right.
Okay. But there's a joint effort also, and even flyovers. So the periodic flyovers that are done every 3 to 5 years, it's usually a shared joint
cost.
Venture and cost, and it's a great benefit to all parties.
Okay.
Okay, then we have the sufficiency of infrastructure resources by areas and sub-areas. Do we want to move that next to the grade card? The scorecard?
Yeah, I don't know. There's also another one I thought should be the next page 16, the last one. Prior to approving a building permit, the city should require that the applicant provide accurate, verifiable data the city can use to verify the adequacy of city infrastructure.
Okay.
Standards of adequacy should be developed and codified in ordinance. Seems like exactly what this scorecard would be.
Yeah, this section is sort of like the end of the electric section where different people had similar general recommendations. So we do need to make sure they're not repetitive.
Okay, I'm on page 15. We say under discussion, the second discussion, mm-hmm. the smaller one, we say, when it was suddenly announced that there was no longer any infrastructure capacity available. Is that a true statement? I think it was limited to sewer, wasn't it?
Maybe electric. Electric's on its way.
Well, it was under capacity for a while until the Rebel Hill station got online, I believe.
Well, is that even a useful discussion point? I mean, most of our discussion points have been substantive in expanding the idea or giving a rationalization for the recommendation in a substantive way. So,
I think the bullet point is fine about that.
Discussion.
Yeah.
Needs.
Thank you. And then under the next discussion, where it says, although the mayor's task force was not allowed to review water, that's...
Missed the bullet in this.
Which one?
The city should... I mean, you're jumping to the next recommendation, right?
That's what's the... Yeah.
Can
the city
we...
should establish water, which should, the next two, this, that one, and then the next bullet are the same.
They are the same, and I put them together, and I think, isn't there a third one, too? There are three different places where we, maybe just those two, but...
Originally, there were three at one point, and one of the times we had left it off with three different options. We had left kind of hanging out there that we needed to explore further to see what we really wanted.
We discussed it.
So one of them is a water sewer and storm. The other one is... keeping water and light together and having a sewer and storm.
Mm-hmm. I think the pullback is there's no advisory board for sewer and stormwater.
Yeah.
But there is for water and electric. And the question would be is would we have to be real specific in our recommendation or just provide a recommendation that says the city should pursue advisory board like, you know, electric and water for sewer and stormwater, which could be independent or combined with other utilities.
I like that.
Right, or a variation on that I've been thinking about is the city should form a structure of utility oversight, and there might be a primary board for utilities and then sub-board based on expertise within a utility and a reporting structure.
How would that function with the current water and light advisory?
It would probably, you know, there would be...
Well, if it had real substance, you would probably approach and have a charter change.
Yeah. It here's some input from the public, but maybe what we do is we do like we've done the other ones, is that we're recommending that the city pursue development advisory boards such as, and list examples of what could be...
different scenarios,
right.
And I think we could even call them that in this case.
Just explore, we're not mandating, we're exploring just to provide more public input and oversight for the utility operations. So, like, it's been successful for water and light.
I'm definitely fine with that. I like that.
John?
Would you throw streets in there to some type of advisory for streets?
You bet.
That's fine.
Because streets is number one or two from the community standpoint is the most important thing we should be spending.
But you don't think it should be combined with any of the utilities?
No, I don't think it's utilities. I'm just saying
streets.
You know,
streets should have almost their own advisory
board. Community input on streets and how we maintain them and how we take care of them.
Right. And streets includes bridges and that, right, yeah.
I didn't want to leave that out.
No.
Yeah. I agree.
The first sentence on the discussion, although the MTFI is not allowed to review water blah, blah, blah. Is that first sentence accurate? I thought the advisory board discussion came from our meetings, not that we were asked to review that idea.
It's I think
I'm
it's
sure
it
wasn't
well,
brand,
it's
brand
well, no, it's semantics. I mean, it's. There's a whole separate effort reviewing the water, and so why have two task force reviewing the same thing? And so it was eliminated and not made a part of the task. You know, it's not that we weren't allowed. It's just that there's.
Can I take a shot at restructuring this one? Is everybody comfortable with it?
Yeah,
for
I don't think we would say it was not allowed. It was
just
not part of
the requirement. Oh,
no. Do that.
Well, Phil just showed me the sentence in the resolution that does actually say
it was not allowed.
Asks us to know it. Well, it asks us to review whether an ongoing stormwater and sewer advisory commission or other advisory commission should be established. I stand corrected.
But, right. And we. We're addressing that in multiple ways.
Yep.
But I do think that it's important that our discussion and recommendations are very topically content oriented and not editorializing.
Okay.
If you look down the road, you know, 30 years, you can probably just justify a provided word for each utility.
Right, which is one of the options I was talking about. Yeah, right. But with some sort of coordinating structure, because we got to the point where we realized there are global issues.
Yeah, umbrella.
Right.
I don't think you want them in individual silos. I think there is an overlying umbrella
right.
over them.
Well, I think there's even a bigger issue is that the overriding. Lack of functionality of boards and commissions in the city.
Very complicated issue.
Yeah, and then you stand back and ask yourself: Does council really use the boards and commission?
Good question.
And you can go a lot of different places with that. And one time there was a movement to try to go through that that list of them. There's probably, I think there's less than 1,000. But, 30? 300. 300, thank you. it needs to be called out and some of them done away with and look at their, the present day function. And they've all been legislated.
So, on committees.
And
anyway. Advisory board.
Well, it's not our purview to address that issue globally, but we can say in this recommendation that it makes sense to have a regular cycle of review of the value of the oversight committees related to utilities.
I think that's a good idea.
I do too. Yeah.
Just to have it for the sake of having
utilities.
It.
Right.
And sometimes with items like this, I have a desire. I would like to.
Or related at least to infrastructure.
I would like to have the council or a discussion with the council as to what would you like? What do you think is most functional for you? And what would be the best use in order for you to govern?
The challenges that the council changes.
Yes, it does.
Every year. Yeah.
So the makeup changes and the opinions change. The issues of the day change.
Just like the wind.
I would just be careful when we're writing this, or just to keep in mind when we're writing this recommendation about the advisory boards, that the question has already been asked and thought about by council enough that they're asking us
to make
should we have a stormwater or sewer or other, or should it be established or ongoing?
To address
those. I
don't want
to rehash,
Right.
Yeah, we can either do this, or we can do this, or we can ongo this, or not ongo. Because then we're not really making a recommendation on what they're asking. We're just saying the same thing.
We could, yeah.
I think that's where we prioritize it and see that we recommend this one as your highest priority. But if it's going to require, too many hoops to jump through, then down the road, maybe this will get us by for a while.
Right. And the devil's advocate to that point, Cody, is that it was a political process when this task force was commissioned also. So, you know, there's framing to what is, I mean, that's framing too. So we certainly need to respond to it.
I like your idea of provide our preferred solution.
Right.
And then some other alternate choices if that's not liked.
Right.
But at least from our perspective, we think this should be done.
Clearly we think it's important enough that something should be done. If you don't like our top recommendation, here are some alternatives.
Okay, so let's go back and try to define the problem again. Okay, what is the problem? I think what I hear all you telling me is that there ought to be more citizen input in the oversight of the utilities.
It appears that Water and Light Advisory Board has been successful at assisting with the monitoring management recommendations associated with those two utilities, and they are operating at a much higher level of success than, say, stormwater, which is not,
yeah.
Which I think everybody agrees is the, so kind of taking our cue from the fact that it looks like, I think several people have said, if that one's not broken, why are we trying to fix that one?
Right.
But then there are several that are totally unrepresented. Streets.
I'm not in total agreement that it's working fine the way it is.
But that's not right.
Right.
That's
would
not
you, do you feel like it's working better with an advisory board than it would be with no advisory board?
Beg your pardon?
Do you feel like it's working better with an advisory board than with no advisory board?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I think it also allows consistency. You know, when we first started this, we had a whole list of the task forces that came before us. And, you know, for 9 people to take a year and to study this is very different from having, how many, you have 5 on your advisory board?
5.
You know, a set number of people that serves for a certain number of years and they have specific expertise about this, and it's more ongoing and than just, you know, reinventing the wheel every year with a new task force, I think is also important.
Right. Mr. Glasscock, did you want to say something?
One thing you have to realize, Water Light Advisory
are all staggered. Yeah.
So you have four people that are
right.
Been there one day.
Operations of the utility.
And then if, whether
as
or not
you pointed out, if we go do a charter change, I think it should
most
be
board members historically
board,
have,
like you said, because they set policy for all utilities
multiple terms.
So I think that's the benefit that gives council is the policy
for various
stuff.
Reasons will lead the board
day-to-day operations comes out sometimes mm-hmm. they try to do, but most of it's all policy.
All right, so let's look at these financial policy global recommendations, because we are going to get through this tonight. And these are not necessarily simple ones. First one, look at establishing similar customer classifications for each utility. Is that each utility or across utilities? Is that the point?
It's across utilities, isn't it? And is that really possible?
Yeah, I mean, each utility is going to have unique circumstances.
Exactly.
Situation, but I understand. I think you were, Bill, is wanting a easier to understand for the public. I'm a residential customer, whether it be electric, water, sewer, whatever.
And regardless of dwelling type.
Yeah.
I think in some ways that is going to remain, well, I think it's good to have a recommendation on that that will, can hopefully be used to inform other sort of zoning category discussions mm-hmm. and such.
Yeah, I don't know how feasible it is, but I mean, it's something worth looking into.
Yeah. I'm not sure it's possible.
Can we say that in the discussion section? We acknowledge that this is complicated since there are parts of the community like downtown where multiple uses are allowed in the same structures.
Yeah, so if structures support different classifications,
right,
is different, may cause different whatever.
Okay. Right, and I actually was thinking about this after we were here last week, and you know, this issue becomes even more sort of vexed if we adopt a form-based zoning code, mm-hmm, and more structures in areas that have historically been separate,
here,
like R1 and mm-hmm stuff, are. Subject to the form-based code.
Mm-hmm. I think currently
it's
just downtown, but yeah, if eventually it does expand beyond downtown.
Right, but there's still some R3 downtown, and in the inner ring neighborhoods, some of them have gone back to downzoning from
mm-hmm
to R1 and R2.
Well, places like Cherry Hill that are mixed use.
That are mixed, that were
yeah,
built
it's a good example
to be like
too.
That.
Purposely built mixed use development.
I don't know, Bill, it's just, it's complicated. Like, for years, there's been a discussion about, and most of these houses are zoned R3, but, like, turning Hubble Street into retail and commercial, letting those houses be used for that, for the purpose of sort of saving the houses, and I don't want to give that up.
The only thing that would be complicated would be if you meet your resident, non-residential facility, same meter. They have meters, it'd be separate.
But
master meters is what complicates it.
But I don't think you're getting away from that, because you look at some of the development downtown where you've got mixed use, you've got retail space, you've got apartments, you may have meeting rooms, I mean business, all in one multi-use facility with a master meter.
That's what that master meter is what complicates the issue.
Well, it does, but it just forcing it to go to individual meters for things is going to not.
No, I wouldn't do that, but you have to figure out how to proportion the meter usage. If you have a barbershop and a plenty in the same meter, you have to figure out how to proportion the usage, which I think can be done. 30% of the meters usually go to the barbershop, and 50% go to the apartment.
Yeah, I don't know how they work, because it's, you see a lot more of that type of development.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think in a lot of ways it's contrary to the way that things are moving, where there's a...
And you're seeing central heating and cooling systems looking at, that's efficiency, that's what should happen.
Yeah.
And to try to do a one-size-fits-all, I don't see how it's going to work.
Surely is a way to do that.
Well, there may be a way to do it, but again, how much are you complicating it, and what for what end?
Right. I mean, I think there's an economies of scale issue to it too. What,
absolutely.
But how do you do that in an 800 square foot house, right?
All this is saying is it ought to be across utilities. Residential and residential, and non-residential being non-residential. Non-residential is not commercial. There are a lot of things that are commercial that aren't non-residential.
Like what?
Well, I guess that backwards. You have something that's non-residential, it might not be commercial. Like a church.
Oh, sure, sure.
A church. Mm-hmm. If you just got residential and commercial classification, a church would fall under commercial. But a church actually commercial?
Well, that's a different conversation.
I would say most of those are pretty big money makers. They fall under commercial B.
Non-residential.
Simple little office retail converted structures, don't they? I mean, I've been in some, and they've been working for an apartment. But if you, however that was, if it's office retail, so they can have their office retail, and yet they maintain an apartment. I wonder if they're missing their office.
I guess I'm just trying to figure out the problem you're trying to solve with this. When there are so many exceptions to a rule that are good, but sometimes consistency is not the best policy.
I think it is. It's always been good to be consistent.
I think it limits innovation, entrepreneurship, those types of things that the Columbia community is trying to actually support and foster.
Even Dan Winter supported it.
What'd you say, Bill?
I said even Dan Winter supported it. He said that's what he was shooting for. You know, it's going to take a long time to get there, but that's going to be the goal.
I see where you have customer classes. You try to, on utilities, try to match up the best you can, but match them up anything with zoning is not, I don't see how that's going to, I mean, it's going to be real difficult. It's a mixed use of facilities. We're going to see more and more mixed use facilities than separate grocery store and apartment complex. You're going to see them merged together as
maybe,
one.
Maybe have the third category of mixed use, residential and residential and mixed.
Are we picking that information up anyway, regardless of the zone, during the permitting process? I mean, you have to pay to have a rental property fee. I mean, aren't you picking up some of that data? We're just not. It's not just.
I think these things are fluid, and they're things that should be captured when you do rate of services analysis. When you do your analysis, if your demographics are changing, you readjust your rate analysis based on that demographic change.
Does it hurt anything to change the wording so that it's suggested that, like we've done with so many of these, that you have
to right now, classified as an apartment building, this master meter with 200 apartments in it is non-residential, and not non-residential, it's residential. It's not mixed use. It's 200 apartments, sure classified as non-residential if it's got master meters.
Now, what if you had a retail space in the bottom of that and you had a private office in the middle? What is
that's
it now?
Where you get to the third category of mixed use.
So if you had a third category of mixed use, what would happen? Would that get charged a different rate?
It couldn't possibly. It's something I haven't checked out, but it's something that you'd be thought about. We're not recommending rates now anyway.
Right, I'm just trying to figure out what.
So why did we use the term non-resident?
Because I recommended it.
Why did you recommend it?
Because of visible urban commercial.
We recommend the non-residential because it's something that people make money in. Most of the time, residential is somewhere you live. Non-residential was put forth because it was something that people make cash in. It's a profit. That's why not residential was used.
It's more run on use.
Pardon?
It's better use.
But I'm just saying why we use non-residential. Anything other than a house somebody's living in is non-residential.
So a master metered apartment house is considered what you're thinking.
Somebody's making money.
It's a commercial.
It's a business
enterprise.
First
commercial
and foremost.
Right.
It's a
same with a church. It's
it's a business first
it's
and
a
foremost.
Business. You just didn't use commercial because it's not commercial, it's more business type stuff.
It's not non-residential. It's residential.
It's a business. And that's why we use it.
Establish is the challenge for me. It's all right for them to explore.
Yeah.
bring uniformity into customer classifications or reevaluate them, but we're specifically telling them what to do, and I don't think we're there yet by establishing customer groups.
That's fine.
I mean, we should have them explore that and look for more applicable classification codes and try to get them uniform across utilities as much as possible.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like classification 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, as opposed to a word residential or non-residential that has an interpretation.
Right.
Multiple interpretations, even just going to Webster's dictionary is going to give you multiple interpretations.
So can we add on to this last sentence, subclassifications of residential and non-residential properties may be established if justified, such as mixed use or something? Just to give people a little context. Is that okay?
Yes.
Thank you.
You're going to change the word established just to explore?
Yes.
Explore.
Yeah. Okay. Second one. The city shall track separately, separately track each utility charge, base and usage separately, and fee for each customer classification for each utility.
Are we using fee as a noun in that sentence? Charging for each
okay. Track each utility charge and fee. Yes, as a noun.
Hey Ted, don't we do that?
I mean,
on the income statement, isn't it? We have to,
noun, yeah.
From a revenue standpoint, we divide the revenue out accordingly. To
I've asked and I've been told they don't. I'm not
sure
how
we do the base and the usage.
Have to check it. No,
we don't.
System
that's not done do separately. But the revenue is, we show.
We separate it by customer classes.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we don't separate it based on the base and usage charges.
Right.
Right. Yeah. I think this one makes sense to me. I mean, it could still be a should explore.
How am I supposed to read the first sentence? The fee is, are we, I meant verb when I said noun. Is that a, what, I don't like that sentence.
Take out the parentheses and read it. It makes more sense.
The city should simply track each utility charge.
And fee.
And fee.
And fee separately. No.
No. You take out the parentheses. The city should separately track each utility charge and fee for each customer classification for each utility. Take it out. It makes sense.
See, is the fee charged based upon customer classification?
It should be.
Like the sewer connection fee, is that $2,000? What?
You should be able to apply how many residential plans pay the connection fee.
If it's a one-time thing, though.
It's based on what?
Meter size.
I can easily see the base and usage being tracked by customer code, but since the connection fee is a one-time development connection fee.
It's a whole different income,
yeah.
Revenue stream.
And it's really to offset the connection of those utilities to those developments. Whereas the rest is really based on the annualized operation of the utility, the base and usage fee.
Sorry.
So much money to collect on the connection fee, you should be able to tell how much is residential and how much is non-residential.
I don't have a problem with that necessarily, but I think it should be a separate sentence. It's a different idea. So the city should explore tracking each utility base and usage charge and also track connection fees.
What's the goal of that? Help me. Just because I want to understand, I get the discussion that they don't. Okay, so.
I think that's clarified in the next bullet. Because I was thinking the same thing, and then in the next one.
I actually, not so much for the connection fee, but I must say I'm a little surprised. I would guess we would track on basin usage charge because that ratio would be important in planning for new rates or.
So that's the really the discussion is what are we using that for?
I could see it would be used more for forecasting.
For forecasting.
Because okay. if you know your separation and classification, if you know that you're going to see more residential growth over the next 5 years, you can kind of get an idea how much your income is going to be coming in versus if it's going to be more commercial industrial.
It's just a planning tool. Trying to get at.
It's just a planning tool. It's just data, and data's good, and it's okay to recommend it to use.
Changing the discussion from they don't do it now to why we want them to do it.
Right, for the discussion piece.
Mm-hmm. And the data's probably in the city's system, and they just need the database algorithms to be able to pull that out, because it may come from multiple sources. I think you can almost group those two bullets together as one.
These two?
Yeah.
The second two. Okay.
Bill, you were probably drafting this. Is your concept here that one rate class doesn't carry the burden for another rate class?
It shouldn't subsidize.
In other words, residential shouldn't subsidize
non-residential
or industry.
Yes, that's correct. There's
a background check for that, but the data can also be used for planning and forecasting.
Okay. Okay, what about the final bullet? Is it okay to...
combined with the scorecard one.
That's what we were talking about. Okay. Thank you.
It says the city should review and adjust utility charges and fees collected from each customer class at least annually to maintain the proportional distribution of O&M and replacement cost to use these quantities among customer classification. So that the stormwater is a utility and that doesn't...
Where are you?
Right there.
Okay, I'm sorry, yeah.
And those charges are not, those are based, the charges are not.
They're based on runoff.
Pardon?
They're based on runoff. They will be if they follow the regulation.
Well, if it's based on a pervious surface, then all class categories, everyone's paying their fair share.
Yeah, but they're saying here that to maintain a proportional distribution of O&M and replacement costs, the usage quantities.
Yeah, that's more oriented towards the consumption.
Consumable.
Consumption utility.
Yeah.
Yeah, not a stormwater utility.
Not a fee. Stormwater's a fee.
Yeah. And plus the other thing, it doesn't address that.
If you've got so much money you're collecting from non-residential stormwater customers, it all equals their runoff. And their runoff is figuring into that.
Well, everyone should pay the same per square foot of impervious surface.
Right.
Whether you're a
residential or commercial.
Correct.
I
everybody
mean,
should be paying the same
it's
rate.
It's just pervious or impervious. It doesn't matter if it's.
And residential customers are paying. They've been generating 60% of runoff. That'll be paying 60% of the whole end cost.
In theory, but you may have that not every year. Ebb and flow depends on what the need is. Over time, I could see that, but not in one calendar year. One calendar year, the cost may be as good as one.
So is the residential really causing more 60% of that O&M, though? 60% of the impervious area? I mean, the density the higher percentage of impervious area is going to be more likely to scour the channels and wear the pipes and stuff. So actually, the commercial should be higher, in my opinion, than exactly 60 for 60 or 1 to 1. Their percentage of impervious area is actually more detrimental than the residential's impervious area.
It's more concentrated.
Because it's more concentrated.
But then, recommendation. Figures that support that. In theory, it might.
Does the bullet point work without that discussion about the 60%? Do we like the way that bullet point reads?
The debt hasn't been considered in this bullet.
Yeah, this is going down.
What are you going to do with the debt?
Say that again.
What are you going to do with the debt? And then again, once again, in the electrical department, that it is not proportional to the distribution of O&M. That relationship is not proportional.
You're saying that if commercial customers.
You go. Yeah. What I'm saying is, you go through a cost of service study, and they will figure out what the methodology is to proportion those costs based upon your demand and what you should be paying in all the customer classifications. And probably the cost of service study may address this bullet.
I think this really should be the basis of part of a cost of services study.
Yeah.
For us to recommend it specifically.
And it does that for each utility, whether it's sewer or stormwater.
But not each customer class is equal and balanced because look at industry or heavy, high-use commercial properties was using really high electric demand or driving capacity needs, where the residentials are. And so it's more than just energy, it's capacity, it's debt.
It's not proportional.
Yeah, and then you're not going to be able to find that proportional.
And this still doesn't address debt.
Discussion.
So, what my naive to these areas hears is maybe what if there should be a recommendation, it should be for an annual cost of service study for each utility. Is that it?
That's the way I get it.
Yeah.
I don't think annually is too frequently. Probably on the same frequency the cost of service study, which could be every 2 years, 3 years, whatever the cycle is.
And we recommended 5 years for stormwater cost of service.
What you're saying here is you're going to readjust rates annually based on the cost of service analysis, and that's a big exercise to do every year.
And again, this is lifted from the SRF requirement, and SRF requires that you do it annually. So if you got an SRF loan. It's verbatim.
Okay. So what do we want to do?
Like we've covered it in the cost of service study.
Okay. So can we please go back and visit on page 12 in red on, it's in red on my copy, but the depreciation piece that I will move to the global. Again, I'm sorry I didn't catch it. It's on page 12, immediately above electric utility downtown. And just to be, just so we're all on the same page, the one we've just been discussing, we're taking out, right?
Okay. On this one, I think we need to remove this, on the depreciation, remove that first part, that there are many citizens that feel.
Oh, yeah, I got that. Okay. Yeah. Okay, but otherwise, is the language okay of the actual recommendation?
I think so.
I think in the discussion, because you broke it and you made it more shorter and simple and clear, which is fine, I like that. In the discussion, you could suggest, we said the bond council or the auditor, you know, we made some specific third-party suggestions that you could potentially throw back in there.
Okay.
Yeah, that's...
Can we move the one to sir?
I think that comes back.
On tab 12.
Oh, of the ones that we were just talking about, Bill and Global.
Yes.
So Bill is asking if we can take this next to last one on page 16, make it specific to sewer, and move it to that section.
As long as you address debt.
Can we add debt?
Are you going to do debt?
Which one?
It's debt proportional.
The next to last one.
I mean, you can't make it proportional.
There's ours for sure.
That's from the ordinance.
That's from the ordinance.
Yeah, which is lifted right out of the SRF regulations.
Okay. So, but if it's already the ordinance, why would we be recommending it?
It's not being done.
So why would we just recommend to follow the ordinance?
There we go.
If it's out of the
ordinance, whatever number.
Make that global, that from here on to eternity, that all ordinances must be followed.
If the, you were just mentioning that it, John, that it was based on the SFR?
SRF.
Okay.
State revolving.
It's a state requirement.
State revolving loan fund.
And that is, so how can we not be in compliance with it?
And we're not by, why aren't we? I mean, what's the...
Well, because you don't want the cost off for residential customers.
Well... then I think that we should just be direct and say we need to make sure we're in compliance with ordinance number 265. But I it seems like if the state was giving money that it's probably doing oversight to make sure we're in compliance.
Did good, Madam Chairman.
Okay,
so... That was some exercise. good discussion.
Yeah. I am uncomfortable saying, unless I know something, I don't know how to know that. It's certainly not tonight at 9:08.
I've answered records. See, I'm not likely to do this,
okay, but
What did you ask for, Bill?
City provide documentation.
What did you ask for?
Yeah.
Documentation.
Okay.
I think we should talk before we leave about the format of this public hearing.
Right.
It's going to be.
So we talked a couple times about, I think the last time wasn't our discussion, and Kim left, I'm looking at her empty chair, but she suggested, and I thought it was a good idea, since we don't, that we generally have in our minds that we're going to work through it by utility and ask the audience to make their comments specific to a utility, but that we need to sort of survey the landscape when we get there. If there's five people or people sort of come in and out open house style, it makes more sense to just let people speak to the items that they're interested in speaking to across utilities.
Mm-hmm. Are you moderating?
I figured I would.
Okay. Are we going to do any opening remarks, or are you just going to open it right up? Or I guess you can just do a brief.
Yeah, particularly
like who everybody is. Or,
right, we'll do an introduction. We'll be in council chambers, so we'll have our name tags there.
I mean, obviously, if people want to speak their piece about any of these items or any other items, but what if somebody has a specific question what we mean by that?
Then
how does that get responded to? Because sometimes we're not even on the same table with some of those questions. So
that's hard.
As a group, it's going to be hard to respond.
We could just, if somebody has wants to speak up and take a shot at it, and then if somebody else wants to offer a differing or slightly differing opinion, I guess they could.
Yeah, right, just add to it.
But mostly we're trying to seek.
Yeah,
public
I guess we don't want to get too far into
it's public
our
hearing.
Our
it's really not.
The,
yeah, right.
That's right.
That's right.
We're not defending or.
We're
literally just
soliciting
up opinion.
For yep. Yep.
Okay.
Right. And even introductions will be a little bit tricky because if it is, you know, it is a 2-hour open period. So I suspect people are going to come and go.
Do people have, is there a time limit on?
Well, I had thought that, yes, that is a good idea. So the question then becomes, do we time per comment per utility, or just generally the value of going scheduling it over 2 hours, half an hour each utility, for example, mm-hmm. is that it lets people come up and give their 3 or 5 minutes
right.
based on
I think you have to judge it based on the participation who shows up. You got five people
I think
there
so too.
You might give them more time.
I think she's right.
Right.
30 people right. there, you're going to have to say each person's comments need to be limited to 3 minutes, 5 minutes, whatever it may be. Just a suggestion.
I agree.
You're going to have to make an audible on that based on what you see out there.
Right.
Because some people will want 30 minutes if you give them mics. Mm-hmm. So,
all 2 hours.
So there's still going to have to be some limits.
I agree. And I planned on doing that. I think the very minimum is 3 minutes. It's hard to put a coherent thought together in less than that.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I would prefer a 5 minute.
I think 5 is great. I just didn't want 20.
No, right. Of course. Yep. I agree. Okay. Any other input? So this is a draft. It's marked draft. I will make sure that stays on there. Do you want to? I've got a couple changes coming to me. We need to get this posted. So, how about I make these changes? Have Carol circulate them. We're not changing anything beyond what we covered tonight. If I didn't get something right, let me know. And I will highlight in a different color the sections that I talked about doing some revision on, so that they're really clear what I've changed, so you can see my input, and please respond to that if you don't like it.
So is that going to be after these individual, like, I've had one area that I was going to send you something, and I think Greg was
going to... I'll get you before mid-morning.
Right.
I'll get you at the same time frame then, before mid-morning.
I don't know if it's, because I don't know what Carol's day is like tomorrow, but I think she's got training tomorrow and Thursday, right?
We actually have employee meetings the next 2 days.
The next 2 days. So, and I'm scheduled to meet with her on Friday morning, so... I'm hoping to get this to her tomorrow so it can get posted, but if not, I mean, we've got the 24-hour rule, but it would be great to get this up on the website on Friday.
Friday would be great.
Yep.
And the one other thing I thought about, just to make sure we get up there, is if the drafters of these sections could send me what they consider to be their final draft prior to this, then we'll put up this, and we'll put up those four documents.
Without recommendations?
Summaries?
Just
the narratives?
The four documents that informed this, even if it has the narratives in it, and we'll title them all clearly so that anybody who's interested at that level can see where that has something to see where this document came from.
Oh.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
So,
so just the narrative, though, or the narrative and the old recommendations?
The narrative and the last draft that you gave to me to make this.
Just resend that to you.
Yep. Okay. Yep. And those will be the five that go up for this public hearing. Okay. Public. Any comments? Other comments?
I was going to say that I was going to attend the workshop tomorrow. I don't know if anybody else is.
What time is it?
5:30 tomorrow.
5:30, 7:30. Something like that. I was going to attend it, but I got to go to the airport.
Where is it? Is it here?
It's the park.
Park.
Okay. I'm going to try to. Okay. Wonderful. I think we are adjourned. Thank you very much for sticking through this. Much for sticking through this. We are adjourned. Thank you very much.